Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Judaism to uncover its hidden beauty. Come join us as we take a closer look and breathe new life into traditional Jewish ideas. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel.
Hello, happy Hanukkah, and welcome to episode 54. Today's episode is generously sponsored by David and Erica Bashover in honor of the birth of their son, Benjamin Eric Bashover. May the Torah learning that comes from this episode be a merit for him to grow up to be a holy Jew full of kindness and Torah. And may he always bring much joy and nachas to his parents. Everyone knows that Hanukkah is the holiday of light. We light the menorah for 8 days, we eat donuts and latkes, we give and receive presents. But what is Hanukkah really all about? Today, I want to take a Kabbalistic look at the Hanukkah story and uncover some of the deeper messages hidden behind Hanukkah. What did the war between ancient Greece and ancient Judea really represent from a spiritual perspective? And how did the Maccabees overcome that threat that the Greeks posed? So we know the ancient Greeks were a very intellectual nation, famous for both their mathematicians as well as their philosophers. Most of us have heard of Pythagoras, Archimedes, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, many other famous intellectuals from ancient Greece. The Greeks are also famous for their gymnasiums and for inventing the Olympics, displays of tremendous human strength and power. And I think the common theme of both the intellectual discovery as well as the physical strength is the centrality of man and his dominance over the world. In Greek thought, man was at the center, and the greater the man was in his wisdom and his physical strength, the more he can manipulate and control the world around him to serve his ultimate purpose. The Jews, on the other hand, had a very different philosophy. As Jews, we believe that God created the world and sent us here as his messengers to perfect it. So rather than subdue the world and control it for ourselves, the greatest thing we can do is elevate the world and infuse it with a higher purpose. And this was really the crux of the philosophical battle between the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks denied the Jewish belief that there was something more central and important in the world than man. In their mind, man was ultimate, and a purposeful God couldn't exist. So the Greeks attempted to Hellenize the Jews, and to promote their philosophy, they prohibited specific mitzvahs that are more clearly connected to elevated living. Mitzvahs that reflect the connection to the spiritual world were strictly prohibited by Greek policy. So for example, they forbade Shabbos, a day in which we give up our livelihood, we stop working and we stop developing the physical world to focus on a higher purpose. They forbade circumcision, which represents our ability to elevate physical intimacy to higher space. They forbade Rosh Chodesh, which represents our connection to spiritual growth and renewal. To the Greeks, life was one constant, unchanging natural cycle, with man in the center trying to control it. From a Kabbalistic perspective, we call this the Battle of Seven. And I mentioned this very quickly in episode 26 when we discussed the numbers 6, 7, and 8, but I want to explain it from a more Hanukkah perspective here a little bit more clearly. What does this mean that the Greeks and the Jews were battling over the world of seven? Seven is our world. Most natural phenomena come in sets of seven. The 7 days of the week, there's seven colors in the rainbow, there's seven musical notes, etc. And Kabbalah explains that seven represents physicality and its function, the physical item and its purpose. Meaning, by definition, every three-dimensional object has six sides, a top and bottom, left side and right side, and front and back. So the purely physical elements of any item in our world is represented and connected to the number six, the physical sides the object has. But every object in our world is more than just a physical mass. And what distinguishes one physical item from another is its purpose. Technically, I can describe both a table and a cup as a six-sided piece of physicality. But when I want to express to you the distinction between them, I'll describe their function. The cup has a hole on top and walls on the side, which allows it to hold liquids, while a table has a flat top surface that you can keep your plates and food on. So from the perspective of six, they're really the same Kabbalistically. They're both items that belong to the world of physicality. But where they begin to differentiate is in the world of seven, in their purpose. The ultimate purpose of any physical item, or take it to a more meta level, of all of physicality, is in the world of seven. In Hebrew, we refer to the six physical sides as chomer, pure physicality, and this seventh concept as the center point of it, or its tzura, its purpose. So every item has a chomer, its physical properties, and a tzura, its function, or its purpose. That's why physicality always comes in sets of seven, because the number seven represents a complete physical unit and its purpose. The classic seven in the Torah is Shabbos. Hashem created the physicality of the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. He didn't create any new elements of physicality. Rather, he added purpose to the 6 days of creation. He rested and infused spirituality into the physical world, giving man the ability to now use the world for its purpose. So in the Torah, seven is the natural world and its purpose. The battle of the Greeks and the Jews was regarding this purpose. What is the function and purpose of the physical world? Where does it draw that purpose from? The Greeks believed that physicality's purpose is determined by man, by the physical world itself. In other words, the Greeks believed that seven is to be determined by six. It's just a physical object, and it's this physical man that gives purpose to the world around him, as the physical man, in all of his great wisdom and great strength, decides to do with it. The Jews, however, believe that seven draws its purpose from eight. The number eight represents the supernatural, what's beyond the physical world, a world of spirituality. So the Jews said that the ultimate purpose of seven is not to serve man in the world of six, rather it's to be elevated and reconnect itself with its source, which is actually in the world of eight. To understand more about the world of eight, you can go back and check out episode 26, in which we explained that concept a little bit more at length. Now listen to this incredible insight here. We've mentioned many times in this podcast that Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, is much deeper than just a means of communicating, but there's so many different layers to the language itself, and there's so many lessons you can learn from every single word and every single letter. If you look at the way you say Greece in Hebrew, the word for it is Yavon. And if you take the gematria, the numerical value of the word Yavon, Yud is 10, Vav is 6, and Nun is 50, adding up to 66. Amazing. The Greeks, both in practice and in their spiritual identity and what they represent in the world, is the ultimate 6, 66, which means physicality for the purpose of physicality. May the best physical specimen win. The Jews, on the other hand, were led by a small group of Maccabees. And these were the people that defeated Yavon, defeated these Greek warriors. Who were these Maccabees? The Maccabees were actually a small group of Kohanim, of priests. And in Judaism, the priests were the ones who served in the temple. Their purpose in that role was to be the go-between, between God and the Jewish nation, assisting the people in connecting their experiences in this world of seven to the spiritual world of eight. And amazingly, if you look at the numerical value of the word Kohen, you'll see another amazing thing. Kohen is spelled Chaf, He, Nun. Chaf is 20, He is 5, and Nun again is 50, totaling 75. The number right in between 70 and 80. The priests were those that served as the connectors between 7 and 8. And so naturally, it was a small group of Kohanic Maccabees that defeated the Greeks' attempt at defiling the world of 7, at turning the world into a physical and mundane place. And these Kohanim, these priests, were able to combat that because they're the ones that have this connection between the worlds of 7 and 8. And through them, we were able to defeat the Greeks. When they finally won that war, they rededicated the temple to God, and as we know, they were searching for oil to light the menorah. The menorah in Kabbalistic thought represents spiritual light and divine wisdom. And the Hebrew word for oil, which we light the menorah with, is shemen. Shemen is the same letters, and it's the same root as the word shmona, or the word eight in Hebrew. Oil is very connected to the world of eight, which is why it was used in the menorah. We know that water is the lifeline of the physical world. If you don't drink water, you'll die. Our bodies are mostly composed of water. And oil, which shares the same letters as the number eight, shemen, shmona, it can't mix with water. It'll always float above it, representing spirituality rising above the physical world, rising above water. So we take this oil, this spirituality, this shemen, this eightness, and we put it in the seven-branched menorah in the temple and light it, thereby connecting the worlds of seven and eight. And as we know, when they finally lit that little jug of oil, it only had enough oil to last for one day, but what happened? It miraculously lasted for 8 days. The miracle wasn't just that a little oil happened to last for longer than it should have, but rather that the Jewish nation reconnected themselves to the world of eight. And once that happened, once that connection was made, naturally the oil then burned and burned and burned for 8 days. This is the deeper message of Chanukah, and we need to always remember this message. Every single one of us has a soul that descended into this world from the world of eight. The word in Hebrew for soul is actually neshama, and the letters of neshama are the same letters as the word shmona. Our soul comes from that miraculous, incredible spiritual world, and it enters into our human body, into this world of seven. And our job is to take this world and to elevate the seven around us and bring it back up to that world of eight, reconnect it to God, making ourselves and the entire world around us a godly place. I wish everyone a joyous and light-filled Chanukah. Until next time, have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to the Thinking Jew podcast and for taking the time to study Torah and deepen your connection to Judaism. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating or review and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or topic requests for Rabbi Moshe, please email thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com or visit thethinkingjew.com.